Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show, aliveandkicking at newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram. I'm at Claire McKenna Presents. Coming up this morning, therapist Fiona Brennan is back to answer a listener query, and this one is about a possible diagnosis. Our foodie regular, Erica Drum, is back to talk about her upcoming harvest retreat with yoga teacher Lucy Bloom. They'll be talking about the importance of taking time and taking stock. I'll also be meeting Wendy Reardon to find out how and why she is bringing a wellness festival to Stradbally in Laois. So what kind of a health and wellness week did I have? I've been a bit wrecked this week, kind of dragged myself through it. I mean, I will always check in with myself and see what am I doing or what am I not doing that might be contributing to how I feel. But I've actually come to the understanding that it's just general wear and tear, to be honest. I do find this chapter, I'd have to say, of parenting to be a bit of a challenge, more so than the early years. I mean, maybe it's just different and maybe the way we do with human nature, I've forgotten about tiredness, but now mine are a little bit older. They want to stay up later and that just kills me. I not only love an early night, but I also need a few of them in the week. And even if you sneak off and tag in the husband for the evening, they're still in and out asking questions, making noise, or I'm still my own worst enemy, stressing about whether they're still on their devices and will he remember to take them off him. All my own doing. He's perfectly capable. The usual self-destruction carry on. And I have spoken about it on the show before, that when I look into the future and I see just a quiet house, I don't really like that either. So I do try and embrace it, but I have to say it wears you down. I went to the yoga picnic last Sunday. I got a day to myself and a day of rest. You might remember I had the organisers Alice, Katie and Mary on the show. Have to say it was great. So well organised and so much to do. One of the talks I went to was about burnout. I must try and get the speaker, Naomi Sheedy, on the show. But she was saying there are 12 steps to burnout. That feeling that we associate when you hear the word burnout, the inability to be able to do daily tasks, is actually right at the end. And there are 11 steps before that. One of those is saying yes to everything. Another is ignoring your need for self-care. Now, that really resonated with me. Taking time to do what works for you as a way of truly recharging can slip down your own list and be looked on perhaps as a luxury, but actually it's a necessity. You can email the show aliveandkicking at newstalk.com. Now, chef and cookery tutor Erica Drum and yoga teacher Lucy Bloom Webb have joined forces and announced a female-only yoga feed harvest retreat at Killary Lodge in the wilds of Connemara. Designed to be your own personal harvest, a chance to press pause and take stock. And Erica and Lucy join me in studio now. You're both very welcome.
Thank you, Claire.
Thanks for having us.
So how did you two come together and join forces?
I think a friend put us in touch. I was running retreats with another chef and she decided to go off and do her own thing. And then a mutual friend of ours, Ruth Calderpots, a photographer who'd worked with both of us, said, why don't you two join up? And when we met, and we always say this, we just felt like we knew each other for years. So it was very natural.
Ruth's quite intuitive. She knew we'd get on really well. And I had been hosting retreats as the chef with another yoga teacher, but she had left to live in Portugal. Sarah Shannon, you've had her on your show. And I love Sarah too. And I was kind of in this pause moment. It was COVID and stuff as well. But Ruth knew we'd get on. And when we were, it's so true. It actually makes me emotional because I love her to bits now. And I feel like I know her my whole life, you know. So there you go.
And food is really important at any event like this, isn't it? If we're going to be nourishing our minds and nourishing ourselves, we need to be nourishing our bodies.
Yeah, and so many of us are foodies nowadays in different aspects, but we are, and we care what we're eating. We care about how it tastes and how good it is. Our standard is much higher, obviously, in Ireland. So if you were to book a yoga retreat, I think for me anyway, my first question would be, oh, what's the food going to be like? Who's going to be cooking the food? Or what will we get for breakfast or lunch? Or what, you know, will there be enough? That's one thing people might worry about. Or will it be too, you know, I don't mean too healthy, obviously, but, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, is it going to be rabbit food?
Yeah. And it's certainly not, thank God.
Well, before we get to the food, which is always my first question too, let's just push it down a little and tell us a little bit about the retreat, Lucy, and the idea of harvest.
So harvest for me really is about taking time to stop, to pause and to reflect on maybe what's happened in the last year, last few years? COVID really changed us. And I think it's really important that we have time for perspective and to actually go, okay, I actually need time to just process everything a little bit. And I think when we do that, we can actually harvest a bounty that is already within us. Like, we all have the ability to kind of dig deep for the resources that are going to help see us through and inspire us maybe in the next venture, the next project. But we really need void space to do that. I'm a big believer in that, because our life is very go, 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 on to the next thing, on to the next thing. We don't stop to actually go, wow, I just did a thing, you know? And that's really why we created this, for time to harvest that gold, actually, and get inspiration to move forward.
And that's really important, isn't it? Because the actual harvest, if you think about the farmer, it is a time of celebration. It is a time of looking at the fruits of your labour. Yeah. And there was great celebration, particularly here in Ireland in Celtic times, around sown and around harvest. And totally. You're right. We're always like, on to the next, and what's the next plan, and what am I manifesting, and what are my goals? Mm-hmm. It's good to take stock.
Yeah, it really is. And for me personally, if I keep going on and on and on, I just burn out and I lose inspiration. So really what harvest is about, yes, let's celebrate and actually go, you know, I'm actually really proud of what I've achieved here, or what I've learned about myself, or the work I've done on myself in the past while. And now I'm going to pause and go, right, what's next?
Yeah, because ultimately there's going to be a few insights of what didn't go well, what didn't grow well, and why didn't it? So there has to be a little bit of that going forward too.
Totally. And I think that's part of it. Like, our retreats are very ritual based. I really like to bring the idea of ceremony in, because it gives us an opportunity to really embody maybe, yeah, what am I still holding on to that doesn't feel right? Or what have I really learned that didn't work in the past? And how am I going to learn from that in order to make different choices going forward?
So what can people expect from the retreat?
So we will be having yoga workshops every day. So we have a pretty long one in the morning. I think it's like 2.5 hours in the morning, which is like a very long extended yoga practice, which really gives you an opportunity to drop in. And then we also offer ceremony. So we do a fire ceremony, which is really based around the idea of releasing and transforming, because that is what the element of fire teaches us. And we've had really incredible feedback from the rose ceremonies. So we also offer a rose ceremony as well as this. So it's all very elemental. You're getting that idea, right? We swim in the fjord. So we're right on Killary Fjord in Connemara. And also there's a sauna right next to it. So that hot, cold therapy. So all of this, along with Erica's incredible food, which is obviously second to none, is a real just wholesome, nourishing space. And when people leave our retreats, they leave incredibly inspired and renewed.
So let's talk about the food. I mean, do you try and match what retreat you're cooking for, or do you just cook in season, or how do you approach something like this, Erica?
I probably don't necessarily match the retreat, but the retreat itself, like the one we did last year, was based around the eclipse, wasn't it?
Or the equinox.
Sorry. But it was more seasonal. What I just want to nourish everybody, as we always say in our line, it's inside out. And I like the idea of playing with the food a little bit, giving people loads of things to try. So it's like a dinner, like let's say a dinner theme, kind of. I might do a Middle Eastern night, so it'll be a buffet of loads of different things. You might have, you know, two different big platters of hummus or grilled aubergines. I do keep a vegetarian. I don't go fully vegan, but there is vegan option for everybody. But I keep a vegetarian just to kind of please everybody, but also just to kind of help encourage us to learn a little bit more about vegetarian eating and how we can get more plants in our diet. We all know it's better for us to eat more if we can. And I bring people into the kitchen, actually. So we cook together during the 3 days. So it's 3 nights, actually. A lot of weekend yoga retreats are 2 nights. We decided to do 3 because we feel like it lets people let go a bit more. They really forget about home, you know. And depending where you live in the country, we had a lot of people coming from Dublin last year and they drove all the way to Killary, and it is far enough, but they're like, it's actually good that it's this far because it feels like we've really escaped home. Anyway, the 3 nights. So over the course of the 3 days, I'll do cookery classes hands-on with everybody where we make our own ferments, and we might make protein balls or oat balls or some sort of snack that they can make, learn and bring home the idea of making them when they get home. But I'll also use the time in the kitchen for people to have you ever heard of karma yoga, which is when people on the retreat on the off time might come and help do certain things, and it's all just part of creating a little community within yourselves. But part of our karma yoga is to be in the kitchen with me. Now you don't have to, you know, you do nothing,
you're not just looking for help.
No, they don't have to do any of it, but actually it's a time, like, you know, I'm not the yoga teacher, I am the chef in the kitchen, but I'm also years of living and years of talking to people and years of going through self-employedness even, or, you know, a lot of emotions, grief, that kind of thing. So a lot of stuff gets talked about in the kitchen. You're not looking each other in the eye as much, you know, you might be able to let it out a bit more when you're chopping, helping me, and they learn. And look, all the time, someone on the course is like, can I be in the kitchen? Do you mind if I'm here? Do you mind? I'm like, no, I don't mind. Come on in. So there is, it's not just about the eating of the food. It's a bit more than that. Mm. I buy all local organic ingredients where I can, the best of the best. And as I mentioned there, Middle Eastern, right? I was just thinking in August, you know, tomatoes, peppers. I was driving in going, oh, I'm definitely going to do like a Spanish night maybe where I do a big paella. Mm. I have an thing I can put up outside and, you know, Almoreco and stuff. So they'll get it's really tasty. Like I, you know, don't want me to toot my own horn, but it will be really tasty meals. And then Lucy mentioned there, she does quite a long morning session of yoga where it's the workshop style, 2.5 hours. So what I do usually is I'll leave out homemade oat bars or snacks or something and fruit and teas in the morning time. Because ideally we don't want our stomachs full when we're doing such a class. And then when they come into me at about 11 or 12, isn't it, Lucy?
Yeah, there's usually about
11. There's a lovely big brunch and it's just very chill. You know, you're all together. Everyone leaves as friends as well. It's really cute.
They really do.
There's lots of hugs and tears, but nice tears.
Yeah, no, I'm obsessed with this. It's all about nourishing and engaging the senses.
Totally.
And, you know, I love that.
Yeah.
To go away and come back feeling better than when you left, I think is really important. But this isn't about weight loss or anything.
No.
This is about really nourishing yourself.
It's about abundance.
And resting and taking time for yourself.
Yeah, and that is the medicine of the feminine, you know.
Yeah.
We're so in our masculine all the time, as we just mentioned, doing, doing, doing. We need to learn how to stop and go, it's okay, you know, I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to sit in this little nook and read my book, or I'm going to go for a walk down by the fjord. Like, we just need to be able to be a little bit more... Yeah, able to tap into that side of ourselves that doesn't feel like we always have to be productive. And yeah, I think they do leave with a sense of abundance for sure.
I have this kind of memory in school of the word retreat being really holy or something. Do you remember?
Us holy. Yeah. We had holy retreats.
But there was never any other kind. Whereas now I'm like, the reason it's retreating is to let yourself go and give up to others planning your 3 days. That's what Lucy and I do. Like, if you go on holidays with your kids, you're not really chilling, are you? Like, you know, this is the biggest gift and holiday a woman could give themselves, because they do not have to plan anything in their day for themselves or anybody else. And that's what they're doing a lot of the time. They don't have to cook a dinner or think about what to get in the supermarket. Or, you know, even on holidays, you still have to think about all those things. So it's a really, I just can't wait to give everyone a hug when they arrive in the door. And we said to you, there's spaces left and we just want the women who need it to find it, you know.
Mm. And why women only?
You get that
well,
one.
I mean, look, I think we do need to... We do need spaces for women to come together and feel safe and feel like they can fully open up, which sometimes I found in a mixed group can be a little bit more difficult. However, something happens when you bring women together. Like, if you bring women together and put them in a room together and say, I'm getting the room sorted and we're about to start, by the time I'm starting, it's very difficult to actually get everyone's attention because the chat has begun. And this beautiful thing happens where women just, they can just connect quickly. They can go deep very fast, but also the women are the carriers, you know. Women in our society are pretty much carrying the family, you know, the emotional load, everyone's, you know, everyone's whatever is going on within the household, for example, it's usually the women holding that. And I think it's really important that women get a chance to be held, actually, because it's really important for men also. But really what we're focusing on here is giving women the space to, as Erica just said, you don't have to worry about anything this weekend. Yeah. We're taking care of everything. You can take as much or as little part in this as you want. Nothing is obligatory. You know, you can come. I've had women come on retreat and go, I'm just here to sleep for the weekend, actually, because I have three children under three or whatever.
Or they get sick. Yeah. It's happened us two or three times that one of the women has gotten ill and just because they are letting
stopped.
Go.
They stop. Yeah.
But no offense to Aidan, who's the producer in the room, that's the only guy. It's not against men. It just so happened. Our first few retreats, we didn't say women only. We just, it just happened that women booked it. So now we make it clear so that women who would be a bit worried if it was mixed, that it's not. And I know it's probably not, it's a bit taboo to be doing it in this day and age, but we're just being honest. That's just who we want to come on it, who wants to come on it.
Yeah, and that's this retreat. Maybe there's another retreat that'll be mixed. Maybe another retreat will be men only, but this harvest is for women only.
It's for women.
Tell us the dates and where people can find more information.
Great. And just on that, we've had a lot of mothers and daughters, which is just magic. Yeah. So it's August 10th to 13th. Why I can't say that. August 10th. Oh God.
10th to 13th.
Thank you.
Are the dates.
And check us out on Yoga Feed on Instagram, and you can send us an email as well or a message on there, or either one of us, Erica Drumie on Instagram, Lucy Bloom Yoga on Instagram as well. And we can talk to anyone on the phone if they want to call or want to discuss it further as well, Claire. I think you'd like to come, would you?
I would love to come. I really would. So we'll see if I can get a space, if it's not all taken by my lovely listeners. Well, Erica and Lucy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. Claire.
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
Now, therapist and best-selling author Fiona Brennan is back to answer one of your dilemmas. If you would like to send something in to us, we handle it all anonymously. You can email aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Any life issue that you would like to have advice on or just to vent to us, aliveandkicking@newstalk.com is the email address, and it is always open. And Fiona, you say you've seen and heard it all in clinic, that loads of people go through the same kind of issues, relationships, self-doubt. Life, it can be tough at times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really interesting, Claire, because I've been doing this work now for 12, nearly 13 years in private practice with clients one-to-one and also in groups. And you do see patterns. Like, it's very, very interesting, you know, and the longer you do it, the more you start to see these kind of synchronicities between people or patterns of behavior that we're all privy to. And it's a case of extending an understanding towards that and also helping people to realize that they're not on their own. I think that's, you know, that's very powerful to know that, you know, I've seen this before, I understand this, and there is a lot that can be done to help you. Once a client is open, I think that's, you know, such a sort of key component of therapy, is that you're working with somebody who is open, and that takes great courage. And it also takes being sort of ready, if you like. You know, sometimes there'll be somebody who just isn't quite ready, maybe at that time in their life. It can be really hard if there's too much going on. But I do, you know, I really believe in staying with a person until they feel that they are also open enough and ready to embrace the work.
Yeah, for sure. And I heard a brilliant saying the other day, when you're inside the jar, you can't read the label. And sometimes you need to step away from something a little bit to have a bit of perspective. So as you say, sometimes you need to let the anger simmer down, the pain simmer down before you can do that. And then with the help of somebody else, you can gain that bit of perspective. So I'm going to read today's issue that came through. They say, "Dear Claire and Fiona, I'm really worried at the moment as I found a lump on my breast a few months ago. I've had two close friends go through breast cancer and it was devastating to see them suffer. Thankfully, they're okay now, but they're not the same as before. My doctor is almost 100% certain that it is nothing, so my appointment is not urgent and I have to wait another 6 weeks. I'm really trying not to obsess over this, but it's all I can think about. What if it's too late and the cancer spreads? I haven't told many people, but I do talk to my husband about it. He does his best, but I know I must be driving him mad. And this is a really tough time. Any kind of health scare or waiting for a diagnosis, it is a very tough time for people. You're sort of handing over your power to, you know, the experts, the medical experts, and then you're left in a sort of a limbo, and you don't even know. You're trying to recalibrate, but you don't really know to where. So there's a lot going on there, because she mentions friends, husbands, that there are so many ripple effects to this.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's one I think a lot of women have gone through or go through on quite a regular basis. And, you know, that scare in terms of finding something and being so worried about, you know, could it be, is it? And then that limbo period, as you say. And I think that when things are common, like, for example, miscarriages, etc., you know, these things that a lot of women go through, and there's like, oh, there's a sense of maybe being too flippant with that, to a sense of just, well, you know, these things happen, or she'll be grand, or a kind of slightly ambivalent attitude towards them. And I think that we need to change that, in terms of, even when something happens to a lot of people, it doesn't take away the subjective pain that it causes the individual. So this lady has obviously seen two of her very close friends go through breast cancer. She probably saw them from the beginning, where maybe they were worried about the lump, and then it manifested into, you know, the very thing they didn't want, which is cancer. The word cancer still, I think, has such an impact when you just say it. You know, if a doctor says it, if somebody says it, there's an immediate sort of reaction within our bodies that creates the very thing that we don't want, which is stress and anxiety. So essentially, this lady definitely has, you know, a point in terms of the worry that she feels. She's so worried, and she's doing her best, clearly. So the first thing always in a situation like this, no matter what situation we're in, if we're, you know, it's like I've just been teaching a lot of this in terms of self-compassion on a retreat here in Crete. And it's such a sticky point for people, Claire. It's like, it's when we need it most, right? In the moments we need it most, we tend to deprive ourselves of it, right? So we can kind of understand the concept when things are going relatively well and, you know, it makes sense. But when we're depleted, when we're worried, when, especially in something like this, a health scare, we tend to neglect the very thing that will help us. So the awareness is one part, but then the compassion is the other. And the ability to be compassionate means taking pressure off. It means being kind to oneself, but it also means being proactive. You know, I love the idea of compassion being love in action. So we need to help this lady understand how much of it is fear-based in terms of her concerns, and how much of it is actually real, if you like, in terms of, you know, that she needs to be very proactive. If there is a chance, you don't want to wait 6 weeks. And then, you know, and that has happened to many women as well, where they do sort of wait, and unfortunately it is actually cancer, and that's just heartbreaking. So we've got to do all we can here to make sure for the best possible outcome. So essentially, when you think about it, to get clarity, there's four questions. Maybe you've heard them before. Maybe hopefully some of our lovely listeners have heard of them before. But it's the work of Katie Byron. And I find this really helpful with my clients when I'm helping them in a similar situation. And that is to ask four questions. So she said, what if it's too late, right? So there is a statement, right? And we need to really examine that from a place that is calm and a place that is clear. So when there's too much fear, that's really, really difficult, because the fear takes over and there isn't that sense of being able to see things clearly. The perception, if you like, is very murky. So the first question to ask in this model, which I think is great and so helpful for any negative thoughts, to be honest, or anything that we're not sure of, is it true? Okay, so you ask yourself that question, is it true? And quite often people will say, yes, it is true. You know, what if it is too late? I mean, you know, that is true. And then you ask the second question and you say, can you be absolutely certain that it is true? And now we start to move into a different place, right? We start to get a little bit more perspective. We start to get a step back, if you like. And you say, well, most of us will say, well, no, because we can't be absolutely certain, right? So now things are shifting a little bit, which is good. And we've got a little bit of space. The third question is, how do you react when you believe that thought to be true? So what kind of reaction does it create in your body? And often it is obviously a stress or anxious reaction within, which creates more cortisol, inflammation, all of the things that we don't want in terms of health. And then the fourth question is, who would you be without that thought? And I love this question and the idea of, you know, who am I when I am not caught up in that fear place where I am actually able to see things with that sense of balance, with that sense of centeredness, with that sense of being able to see more clarity. So that's an exercise I would recommend for her, is to go through those four questions. You can Google them. They're there. Katie Byer on, you know, the four questions, basically. She calls it the work, and it's really effective.
And as you go through them, you can almost see the walls crumbling down, because we get quite rigid in the fear and it just takes it down. And I mean, the facts still remain. There's still a 6-week wait until you'll get that absolute certainty. But you've just brought in a softness to it. You've given it another perspective. And I liked what you said about self-compassion, because often even I would have thought self-compassion was, if you make a mistake, you give yourself a bit of a break and you don't go so hard on yourself. But you forget that when you're highly, highly stressed, you can kind of take care of yourself a little bit better in that moment. It sounds like you're putting yourself into two in a little way and kind of observing your behavior, but that's what you're trying to cultivate in a way, to kind of catch some of the behavior and think, is there a way I can do this a little bit more positively? And that will be more beneficial to me and reduce my stress and anxiety.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And that when you are suffering, if you like, it's compassion is very much based on understanding. So when you say, my goodness, if a friend told me this story, I would have compassion for them. I would be able to say, that's really hard. So it's ultimately doing the same for yourself. So you are in a hard situation and kind of owning that in a way, not wallowing or getting caught in self-pity. It's not self-pity. It's actually the opposite. It's a very proactive energy, which is great. So with that in mind, it's like, on a practical level, I do think that this listener should definitely maybe go back to her doctor and say, well, can I ask you why you're almost 100% sure that it's, you know, what is that? You know, where is that coming from? So that you're kind of empowering yourself with the education around it, rather than just kind of going, well, he said it, so it must be true. Like, we need to know why that is the case. And the truth is, like, I do think, and, you know, obviously there's always exceptions, but I've been through this myself, and I do know from many friends and family as well, like, we do all have direct, most of us will know somebody who's been through this, is that when there is something, it moves fast, right? It tends to get you in quickly and they get you back quickly. So it is a good sign. There's a lot to be hopeful here, I would say, but at the same time, do everything you can to get more information and to back that up with the research and the science behind it. And also then, you know, I suppose more on a deeper level, if you like, Claire, there is the sense that, you know, and this is the harder part, this is where compassion comes even more stronger, is that either way, right, what we want for ourselves is that if there is a disease, if there is an illness there, if there is something, that we're not adding to it. You know, we're not creating more stress within our bodies. So this takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of deep work towards oneself, where there is acceptance, where there is a sense of realization that, you know, to give oneself the best opportunity of help, I need to be as relaxed and calm as I can. Because, you know, it's like there's an arrow being thrown at you and we don't want to throw more arrows. And stress, as we know, like the science, you know, the work of Gabor Maté, for example, we know so much now that what stress does to the body, what trauma does, what the sort of buildup of suppressed emotions does to the body. So we need to be aware of that and work with that, not in isolation, but in unity with the physical illness or disease that might be there. That's the bigger picture. But for where this listener is now, I think she can work through those things on both an emotional, psychological, and then that more proactive approach.
Something that really jumped out at me from her email was her mention of her friends who had been through it. They're fine now, but they're not the same. And I kind of thought in some ways, maybe, and I just want to say this as sensitively as possible, because it's, you know, I think it really underestimates what people go through to be like, and aren't they so resilient? And you know, haven't you got a new appreciation for life now? I don't mean to be glib about it, but I think sometimes people can come out the other side of a really tough time. And it doesn't have to be that things are worse. In many ways, things can be better, or they can still be going on part of a journey. They can still be on their recovery. We don't often hear enough about that, you know, we do hear a lot. And I know I've spoken about it on the show here many times with people who've gone through cancer. It's at the end when you get the all clear that the toughest work begins, because you're supposed to feel amazing and quite often you don't. And quite often this is the first time without all the appointments you've had time to really work through it. So perhaps her friends are on that part of the journey, and I accept that. But we can come out of really tough situations changed, but not always for the worst.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like known as flourishing under fire, or post-traumatic growth as opposed to post-traumatic stress. And I think that when we apply, like if we work through it in that way with compassion, with really minding ourselves as best as we can, then, you know, it's almost that like that opens the door, if you like, for it to be much more of an opportunity to grow.
Yeah, well, look, it goes without saying that we wish that listener the very best, or anyone who is in a similar situation waiting for a diagnosis. But I think the importance of minding yourself, of keeping yourself as calm and relaxed as possible, and being as empowered as you can with medical information is fantastic advice as ever. If you would like to get advice from Fiona's Therapy on the Couch, you can email aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Before I let you go, Fiona, you have a course coming up and registration is closing.
That's right. Yeah, Claire, this is actually my signature course, The Positive Habit. And it was first sort of brought to life in 2016. And I'm so proud of this course, because a lot of what I've just been speaking about is kind of encapsulated in that. And a lot of it is also based on my clinical work. So I help the user to go through, the user is not the right word, the, what would you say, a person doing it, the student, to cultivate really strong positive emotions. And basically, yes, it is available till tomorrow, Monday, the 15th of July at midnight. You can register, and then we're going to close it off, because it's a special limited time.
So that's on your website.
You can find out. That's thepositivehabit.com. And you could also find me on Instagram at thepositivehabit.
Amazing. Thank you so much as ever, Fiona Brennan.
Thanks, Claire.
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
Now, Nourish and Flow Festival is taking place in Stradbally, County Laois, the 23rd to the 25th of August. The weekend is filled with thoughtfully created workshops, all tailored to help you relax, manage stress, and equip you with practical tools for navigating menopausal symptoms. Its creator is Wendy Reardon, and she joins me in studio now. Wendy, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Hello, Claire. Thanks for having me on.
And something that really struck me when I was looking through your website, I say it, you're its creator, but it's actually you and your husband, which I think is a really important part of a menopause journey.
Oh, you found him on the website. He makes me hide him away.
Well, behind every good woman is a supportive
exactly.
man.
Yes.
And this 100%. All started with your own menopause journey.
Yeah, definitely. So this event definitely started on that road, because I was in total denial, Claire. last year, last summer, last year was a very difficult year for us personally. We did a lot of family loss. And out of that then came a really busy festival season, because as a, we work at festivals doing glam sites. That's what Shane's business is. So we would put up all the beautiful tents at a lot of the festivals around the country. So once the summer kicks in, it's full on hectic. And then we had kind of a lot of other stuff going on. So last summer was pretty full on, to the point where I was kind of really, really stressed, really at boiling point. And it was only then when my sister kind of turned around and said, maybe that's just a little bit of perimenopause sneaking in. And it was honestly, up until that point, that word had never even entered my mind. It wasn't even in my thought spectrum that this is something that's even going to happen. It was just so far removed from my thoughts that I didn't give it a minute to think about it. And I felt, well, what are you talking about? I'm only 27. And she's like, no, love, you're 47. Do you know? We have to accept these things. So it was then that I started kind of reading a little bit about perimenopause, menopause, getting kind of stuck into a bit of information. Got scared initially, because all people tend to think about it is, it's going to be horrific. It's the end. And that's where my mind was kind of setting when, you know, it was suggested to me that this was the life stage I was now going through. It was like, oh my God, it's the end already? But actually, if you reframe it and you find the right people to help guide you through it, or the right books to read, there is other ways, and the right support out there, there is other ways to reframe this life stage as possibly the launch pad into the next stage of life as a woman. And, you know, no is a full sentence, and we get to explore once we get through this menopausal stage.
And I watched the video you have on your page, interviewed by Gorgeous Karen, and you talk about it as a transition, and we don't really talk about it like that.
Yeah.
And we are talking a lot more about menopause and perimenopause in a very positive way. That's for sure.
Yes.
But it is seen in many ways, as you say, as the end. And I've been kind of pondering on that since. And the transition into puberty for a woman, you don't really lament your childhood. You just kind of go into it and you're ready for the next phase. And obviously it comes with some of its challenges and there's a little bit of fear around it and all of that. But you do feel ready for the next stage. And it'd be nice if we approached this transition in the same way. It's the same if you decide to go on a fertility journey. There is a little bit of fear, there's a bit of unknown, there are a lot of challenges along the way, but you kind of go with it. And there's a lot of resistance to the menopause and the perimenopause.
I think the resistance is, well, for me, the resistance was, oh my God, this is the end. Because, you know, we're here on a journey. What we're here to do, who knows? Some of us find our path, some of us kind of keep looking for a while. And when you, to me, it was the instant, oh my God, is this it? Seriously. But I think the way to look at it with transition is just much more powerful. It puts you back in a place of power that it could be a bumpy ride. It may go plain sailing. Who knows what's going to happen? But at the same time, just to accept it and go with it and embrace all of the messiness that comes along with it to move into the next stage of life, because we can't pretend that it's not happening either.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen to all of us. And this was where I was kind of going, it's not going to happen to me. I was like, no, it actually is. It's normal. It's a normal thing to happen. Symptoms differ for every single person, and every single woman's journey is so, so different. And that's what makes it maybe scary for some, because we only hear horror stories. Not horror stories, it's the wrong word.
No, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true. It sounds like, oh my God, it's awful. But it did sound awful to me when you hear about some of the really bad symptoms that some women get, but some don't.
But that's the offshoot of what women had to go through. Mm-hmm. I was at the Fabulous Pharmacist's Viva La Vida at the National Concert Hall. And at the end, she was taking questions that the audience had put in a box anonymously. And one wasn't a question, it was a comment saying, thank you so much. I feel really empowered by everything that we've spoken about around women's health here tonight, but it just makes me so sad for what I went through myself, because, you know, I got the impression this woman was perhaps in her late 60s or beyond, and there had been no support, there had been no discussion. So it's those women who didn't have those voices are using them now, and sometimes that can come out quite negative, and there's a lot of anger there, and understandably so. But you wanted to have a different voice to the menopause discussion, and I suppose that's why it's called Nourish and Flow. I mean, it's a very warm positive yeah. sounding. It's you didn't want to call it the menopause festival.
No, no. And well, you see, Nourish and Flow actually was birthed back in 2019 through we moved from Dublin down to Laois with the glamping business. We needed a lot more space. And I had studied nutritional therapy for 4 years. So I was just graduating back in 2019. I was all set to become a nutritional therapist. I work full time in an IT company as well. So in 2019, we were in Laois, beautiful Abbey Leaks, and all the bell tents were up in the field and being cleaned down for the next festival to go up. And I walked out one morning and I got this surge from my toes all the way up to my head going, you just need to put your own event on. This is it. And it just felt so right. I don't know if you know, like here, the super conscious mind where you get these flashes of inspiration and a lot of people kind of ignore them as that's not possible for me. It's out of my reach. But those flashes of inspiration, I think, are the nuggets in life to help find your path and to help find the way that you should be going. So I try now to see the flashes and kind of connect with them and help guide my life when that happens. And this was one of those moments. It was undeniably one of those moments. And then I did a very small version of Nourish and Flow, excuse me. And it was based around nutrition and we had some lovely holistic treatments added. Very small, about 40 people there. But great fun, really lovely. And then I had it set to go again in 2020. But unfortunately, you know, the world was going through what it went through at that time and we had to cancel the event. I went through then a couple of years of really doubting my place in the wellness world. I had done some one-on-one nutritional therapy. It wasn't for me. I decided I wasn't really enjoying the one-on-one coaching sessions, but I knew I needed to do something else. I still needed to be in this wellness world. But over that time during COVID, I was working really hard, a lot of stress. Our glamping business was kaput. And I just put on weight and put on weight and put on weight. And I was just really in on myself. I just hid away from the world. I didn't. When everything opened up, I didn't want to go back out. I didn't want to see anyone. I didn't want to do anything. I felt I was so far removed from that world that I wanted so much to be in that I couldn't put on a wellness festival because I didn't look like I should be putting one on.
So. And I think a lot of people felt that way, not necessarily in the festival, but not to go back out there or to wonder, who am I now? And for perimenopause to come around that time, I think it's very difficult for a lot of women not to know or to understand what's going on here. Is this just midlife? Am I just exhausted? Especially if there's going to be family loss, you know, pressure. Is it the pandemic or is it the perimenopause? Yeah. Like, or is it all of these at once?
All of the above. Tick all the boxes. Oh, yeah. It was really, and it wasn't until last summer that the perimenopause kind of element was dropped into this where my head was at thing. And I thought, you know, as I thought about, oh my God, doomsday. But then I thought, oh, this is great, actually. When I started kind of reading some books and opening up my mind to it, I was like, well, that's really good that this is happening because now I have some sort of reason and logic maybe behind why this weight is kind of coming and not going anywhere, even though nothing has changed, or, you know, why I'm not sleeping and all this kind of other symptoms that I was just putting down to, say, stress or my mind was making me talk myself into all sorts of things. When it was maybe it's just this change in life. And wow, how empowering it was to find out that, yes, this could be the change and you can take control now. You've got control back again. That's how I felt.
So tell us about the festival, what people can expect and what your vision is for it.
So, it's very different because I kind of call it a festival style wellness event, right? Because it's a 2-night retreat, let's say, in Stradbally, County Laois in Ballykilcavan. And this beautiful walled garden is where we're going to be setting up all of our glamping tents. So anyone who's coming along for the weekend will be glamping for the weekend, which is probably new to a lot of people, unless you've been to down the festival scene or you're a camper. So that's what makes us a little bit different. It's not a standard retreat where you'd be staying in a hotel or whatever. You're outside, you're in the elements. Great if you've got the hot flushes or flashes going on because you're outside. You'll get a great night's sleep. And then over the weekend, we have speakers who are going to come and talk. So I was really conscious to make it a one thing at a time event. I didn't want something that was going to have 3 or 4 talks going on at the same time, anything like that. I didn't want anything to overwhelm the women, I wanted them to be able to have one set kind of agenda. If they want to go to the talk, they can. If not, they don't have to. They can do something else, go to the nature spa. But the speakers that we have over the weekend is Catherine O'Keefe. It was the first person I found when I started looking into perimenopause, who's the wellness warrior and who comes with the most beautiful approach to menopause. And she comes at it from all the angles. And she's going to be there with us Friday, Saturday and Sunday, which is great. And she's going to do a talk each day about different aspects of changing your mindset about menopause, how to look at it differently will be on the Friday. Saturday, she'll be talking about mindset or menopause and mental health, because there's a really big connection here, as we spoke about earlier on. And then on Sunday, it'll all be about management options and, you know, how to best navigate your menopause and different tips and tricks. We have gorgeous Sharon Huggart down as well to talk about style and body confidence, because again, going through these transitional phases, women need to kind of get back into their own skin and love themselves no matter what's happening. We've got Laura Ward, who's a female physio health expert, pelvic health expert. So she's going to come about and talk about pelvic health for women. And she's going to do some movement classes as well on the Saturday and Sunday morning. And then we have Anne-Marie Bohan, who is a sleep expert. So I'm kind of covering all the little the little kind of bits that tend to be the red flags for people when it comes to this stage of life, you know.
And then weaving in all the lovely wellness practices for people to try or indulge in if they don't get enough time to do so, all with that festival feel.
So we've got sound baths. We've got a huge drumming circle in the walled courtyard on the Saturday night, which should be absolutely amazing. And then on Sunday, we've got Neil O'Murhu and Josie coming to do a breathing circle with their cacao ceremony to close off the event. So, yes, and then we have the sauna with the massage therapists and ice baths and cold plunges there all weekend as well. Yeah, so...
Well, sounds absolutely gorgeous, and so many lovely friends of the show and friends in life you've got weaved in there. Yeah. If people want to find out more information, go to nourishandflow.ie. Wendy Reardon, I'm so glad you found what it was that you wanted. And isn't it incredible that something could have been seen as so negative became your purpose? I hope it goes so, so well for you. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Claire. Thank you so much.
So that's it for Alive and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, Aidan McKelvey, and Hugo Da Silva Scott, who was on sound. And thanks to you for listening. I will see you next week.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.